This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Wednesday, October 20th. Well, a bit of a quiet day yesterday in wheat. We started out firm, but the markets kind of struggled to hang on to that, basically just closing about where it started, where it ended up the previous day. Except for Minneapolis continues to be the leader to the upside. We're close to taking out the little bit of a spike high from last week, but I think we're going to get that done. So markets just inching ever slowly toward that $10 mark. It probably will offer some resistance just from a psychological standpoint, but the fundamentals clearly support the spring wheat market. And it's a market, again, that is just, it's quietly just doing its thing. The other grain markets are chopping around and having some movement both up and down, but the Minneapolis market just continues just to slowly every day just work its way higher. We are starting to see some support develop in corn and soybeans, even with harvest still ongoing. We're toward the tail end of harvest, and we are seeing some delays in the eastern Midwest because of too much moisture. There's been a fair amount of corn that has fallen over, and that's been a struggle to get up. And we're looking at a drop in yields as a result of that as well. So the eastern Midwest was being counted on to offset the yields from the dry season in northern Iowa, southern Minnesota, but it looks like those yields are coming in a bit less than expected. Now, is this a game changer for corn? Probably not, although there is more rain coming to the eastern Midwest this weekend and into next week, so that's just going to create more issues for them. But I think we'll have to shave back some corn production, but it's not going to be a huge amount. But it does help to underpin the market, especially as we work toward the tail end of harvest. The other issue, I think, that at least for corn and into soybeans to some degree, is the La Nina that's forming. It's typically affects primarily Argentina and southern Brazil and also Australia. But that is expected to affect the corn and soybean crops across pretty much all of the major areas of Argentina and into southern Brazil, which is a notable production region. As far as wheat is concerned, it's a little late for that to be affected. We're already into harvest in Argentina. And same thing with Australia. It's really not going to affect the wheat markets in either wheat production in either one of those countries. But it does raise some red flags for corn and soybean production. And in particular, corn, where Brazil last year had a disastrous second season corn crop, which is where their exportable supplies come from. Now we're looking at a drop in Argentine production likely for corn and soybeans. This basically shores up what's expected to be a pretty solid demand base for U.S. corn as we head into the winter and into the spring. And then at that point, it just depends on what Brazil's second season corn crop looks like. But that's grown primarily in the southern region. And if La Nina is going to hang around and it's affecting Argentina and the southern region of Brazil, that creates an entirely different prospect for the corn market. But we just have to wait and see if that develops. But for now, we know there's a La Nina that's developed. It's official, and it's been ongoing for a few months now, and it's expected to be a pretty intense one. So we are looking for an extended dry spell for major corn and bean areas of Argentina and southern Brazil. We are seeing in the rest of the world, we're looking at the Middle East, of course, is a primary wheat producer, but also a primary wheat importer as well. Iraq Ag Minister suggesting that they should decrease the amount of wheat that they're growing because of water shortages. If that's going to happen, they're already a pretty significant importer of wheat. This looks like it would increase their imports as much as 2 to 3 million tons. So it's kind of a surprising situation there in Iraq, but that's kind of the ongoing issue there. The Middle East has had its struggles this year, and it's expected that imports for that region will increase more than what USDA has already projected. So a lot going on still in the wheat market, as there usually is. We're looking at in the bigger picture, the major exporters have seen a significant drop in production. Here in the United States, spring wheat areas primarily, Canada, spring wheat areas Russia, their winter wheat areas, a disappointing harvest. So major exporters have seen a significant drop in production. The Russian government has imposed an export tax to protect domestic supplies. Russian interior wheat prices have been rising for months, and the government is trying to stamp out that food inflation, and they're doing it with an export tax. It's a pretty onerous tax, and it's been in place for several months. It's expected that it will remain in place at least through this marketing year, which ends on June 30th. They're also looking at imposing, and it's pretty much already agreed that they will impose a quota system beginning next year. They were talking initially it might be February, but there is some suggestion it could be in January, so it's not that far away. And so exporters are trying to get as much moved out of the country as they can before those quotas take place, even with the high tax rates. So Russian exports are likely to be pretty limited once we get into the new calendar year. That kind of opens the doors wide open for U.S. exports or demand to these other areas. European wheat exports have been on a torrid pace for these last month or so, and that's going to drain their supplies, I think, fairly quickly. The bottom line is that demand for wheat is improving and supplies are decreasing, especially among the major exporters. And that is why we're in this uptrending market. It's led by Minneapolis, which started, of course, in the drought weeks of the summer. And I think it will continue to be that. But hard red winter wheat is not going to be that far behind. If Russia's gone, that just leaves the U.S. and Argentina. And we're still waiting on a decision out of Brazil on Argentine wheat. We have some GMO wheat that was grown in Argentina. Their concern is keeping it out of the blend of the country's wheat. But either way, even regardless of what the Brazilian government decides, just the mere fact that Argentina has GMO wheat kind of makes importers pause about taking it from there. So we'll see how all that develops. But wheat is, I think, in a longer-term bull market. It's going to be difficult to replace the production losses in this one cycle. We'll see what kind of winter wheat plantings we get. We've had some pretty nice moisture across the southern and central plains, and even up into the northern plains for that matter. North Dakota in particular, but eastern Montana's caught a bit of moisture. So this certainly would help them set up for a much better position, at least for spring crops next year. But as far as winter wheat, we should get off to a good start, at least in the eastern half of the southern plains. The far western plains have missed most of this moisture that has moved through. So this still comes back to those two worlds in the plains. The western part of the plains usually is dry. The eastern is usually wet. And then the central usually gets by pretty decently. But either way, at least a good chunk of the southern and central plains has seen good moisture, and their winter wheat should get off to a pretty decent start, be well established as it heads into winter. But I still look for the wheat market to move higher. Might stall out here again at the $10 mark on Minneapolis, but the southern hemisphere harvest typically adds some pressure to the market, but we just don't see major exporters being aggressive with their FOB offers. In fact, FOBs are moving higher. So we're moving higher even into the southern hemisphere harvest, which is pretty impressive. And I think it just underscores the positive tone to this bull market. We look for probably a temporary high in early February, which is a typical seasonal high. And then another probably more major high into early May as we wrap up our battle for acres. So those are things to look for. Typically, we stall out in early to mid-October, which appears we did. We've had a pullback, but the market seems to want to start moving higher. Again, we might just be choppy and flop around a little bit during the southern hemisphere harvest. And as that crop hits the pipeline, typically November, December, but I think once we get into January, February, we'll see that run. And I don't think we're going to turn into a bear market. It just might struggle a little bit, might move sideways or start to move higher. There are ways to play that. You know, you could do spreads, you could write puts, there's all kinds of ways to trade it. But I think generally speaking, the markets might struggle just a bit here in the short term, but longer term, I think the bull market is well intact. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.